Welcome back to WBOI Presents. I'm Ben Clemmer.
And I'm Rebecca Green. Last month, Indiana moved forward with a pilot program for voter verification using paper receipts at some voting machines for the upcoming election. Our regular explainer of all things politics, Andrew Downs with the Mike Downs Center for Indiana Politics, tells us how these fit into Indiana's election infrastructure. Andy, thank you for coming by WBOI Presents.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
One of the things I wanted to talk to you about today is voter machines. Indiana has kind of expanded its pilot of voter verified paper
audit trails.
Audit trails.
Yeah, VVPAT.
Can you tell me a little bit about what that is and what the hope is that it will provide for voters in these upcoming elections?
There are two issues when people are voting. Number one, we want to make sure that everyone who's voting is actually eligible to vote. And number two, we want to make sure that the votes that are cast are counted accurately. For a long time, we did this on pieces of paper, and everyone believed, well, that was straightforward. You put an X or you didn't put an X. You filled in a box or you didn't fill in a box, and we can all put these things into stacks, and we can count them, and that's it. But we have to remember that during the days of paper ballots, there were still ballots that were disputed about what a voter's intent was. We moved from that into the world of automated machines. We had large mechanical machines here for a long time, and then eventually into what are now referred to as direct record electronic devices, or DREs, and that's what we use here in Allen County and in a number of counties in Northeast Indiana. But the idea behind VVPAT is that when you have the DRE machines, the electronic machines, the voter cannot be certain that the button they pressed registered in that way in the canvas, in the counting of the vote. They would be more confident that it did if they had a piece of paper that said, this is exactly how I voted. The question has always been, how do you marry these two things together in a way that creates a system in which we have confidence that accurately counts votes and recounts votes, and also doesn't become so expensive that people say it's simply not worth it? So the goal with the VVPAT is that voters will be able to see a piece of paper that says, yes, I have voted for candidates A, B, and C. And when the votes are totaled off of the electronic count, if people believe that number seems to be way off, well, that's fine. We can simply go and check what the paper ballots say and see if those numbers add up.
How many counties currently have that VVPAT?
I think it's two right now that are doing an exploration of that. The Secretary of State hopes to provide equipment or some form of funding to two counties. But to put this into perspective, for Allen County alone, to add the machines to our current machines, or the device of the current our current machines, so that we could have VVPAT, will cost well over $1 million. So this is not something that's insignificant in price. And what the my understanding of what the Secretary of State is trying to do right now is test a couple of ways for this to be done. I believe it's in two counties right now. The hope is to expand that in a way by 2029, I think it is, so that each county would have this either funded in whole or in part by the state, and obviously a chunk of that shared locally as well.
Voter security, vote security is a huge issue right now for a number of reasons, not just because of what happened in the 2016 election, but I think people seem to be generally more concerned about access and security of data across every platform. Is the return to a more primitive... Does that offer more security if we were to go all the way back to paper ballots or to punch cards? Or is this kind of combination of the two, is that probably where we're going to end up, maybe nationally?
I think it's probably more likely that we'll end up at a combination. And I think that for a couple of reasons. Number one, the electronic machines are simply able to count the votes faster. And for a lot of people, they would say, well, that's insignificant. If it takes a week, if it takes 2 weeks, who cares? Let's have paper, because that's something that we can all look at and count and agree on what the mark meant on a piece of paper. So we don't need the election results fast. But there's a large portion of the population that wants to know at 6:02 p.m. who won the election that just finished at 6 o'clock. So I think that there is good reason to think that electronic machines will continue to be used. The electronic machines also provide, in some respects, other options. For example, vote centers become easier to do. which allows for, some people say, better access, some people say worse access to voting locations. The electronic machines do that better than paper ballots do. But the paper ballots give us that physical thing that is easier to audit in many respects. The question is, when people are looking at, for example, the machines in Allen County, the way they will work is that the voter will actually see underneath a piece of glass a printout of what they have said they wish to do. And if they see an error in there, they can simply go back and correct it. What they said they wanted to do will be canceled out. It'll be labeled as canceled, and then their new ballot will appear. But we have to keep in mind that I think it's true for most people. We've proofread documents, and we've missed a mistake in there before. So even though we may think we cast a vote for person X, we didn't, at least not in terms of what we did with our finger, or we may have read X because that's what we wanted to read when we were looking at the report. The paper ballots provide something that is easier to audit from a hands-on, I want to be able to put stacks together and see what's going on, but there's still the human issue. Did people misread what they thought they were doing when they were voting? When you start putting them into different piles, do the people who are counting the votes misread something? There is human error that's going to come into play. People should not think that a voter verified paper audit trail is going to fix everything. It's not a silver bullet. It adds a layer of accountability. It adds a way for things to be investigated that is beneficial to election security in the long run. But what's really beneficial is when we're able to do some auditing or accounting of what happened in the polling place.
Let's talk a little bit about that auditing process. What goes into verifying an election, certifying the count, and what do you do if there's a problem?
This question comes up quite frequently. You know, we've been doing elections for quite some time here in the United States, and it's an excellent question. There is recognition by election administrators that fraud is always possible. And the question is, how do you minimize the amount of fraud? When it was paper ballots, believe it or not, what people would do is make a stray mark on a ballot as a way to signal to the vote counters, that vote came from me. And you know, you asked me to go out and recruit 100 voters for you. Well, every ballot that has this little squiggle mark somewhere on there came from me, and so please reward me after the fact. So that was a version of fraud that people had to be aware of. And there was law that was developed to try to deal with that. When it came to the mechanical machines, you could actually rig those occasionally so that they would not bring an accurate count. So there's always the potential for fraud. When in Indiana, and in Allen County more specifically, for a very long time, we have looked at the number of people who signed in as voting and the raw number of people who actually cast a vote. So if you have 7,500 people who signed in and only 5,000 votes cast, well, you're probably missing 2,500 votes somewhere. If we have 7,500 people who signed in and 7,495, well, okay, five is a loss, but it's probably within some margin of error that's acceptable, especially if no results were that close. Currently, that's the sort of thing that's possible. Look at the number of signatures in the book, so to speak, number of people who signed in, and the number of votes cast in that precinct. So we can do that, and that helps us feel more confident about what happens. With a voter verified paper audit trail, we would actually be able to pull out a particular race or particular precincts and literally count the number of votes. Does that match what the machines say happened? If it does, great. If it doesn't, then how wide is the error, and is it a large enough error that we need to be concerned about it?
I live in a smaller county where many of our races are decided in the primary, and there is only sometimes, you know, 400 or 500 votes cast in my precinct for those races. You're missing 5 or 6 votes. You could make a big difference.
For a lot of places, what they'll look at is a percentage instead of raw numbers. That way, whether it's, you know, 40,000 votes cast or 40 votes cast, if you're looking at a 10% margin of error or 5%, it's relative to the size of the number of votes cast. Another way that people look at it is, what were the margins in the races? If we've, quote, lost 5 votes somewhere, or may have lost 5 votes, was that enough to decide a race or not? Was it enough to make a race close enough that someone might want a recount? So that's another way to think about how large is too large. But in the end, this is where there's a need for campaigns and political parties, and for that matter, election administrators, to be willing to consider arguments about whether or not there should be a recount. A recount is not necessarily a condemnation of the voting process. It's simply saying, this is so close, let's count it again and see if there's a different set of results. And for those who think, well, how do you lose a vote? I'll tell a story that I'm aware of because it actually took place in a precinct where I was working many, many, I can even say decades ago now. A couple came in to vote. They both signed the poll book, but they were longtime voters in that precinct. The people who worked there were longtime workers in that precinct. There was conversation going on. How are the kids? What's going on in the neighborhood, et cetera, et cetera. One person voted, the other did not. They left together. They came in together. They signed in together. One went and voted. That one came out from the machine. Conversation continued, and everybody said, well, that's it. See you later. And they both walked off. So a vote was not cast, although there was a signature in the book for it. Now, is that voter fraud, or is that just people chatting and being neighborly and civil to one another? I would argue it's more that than voter fraud, but those sorts of errors occur. The same way you can write a set of instructions that you think is clear for voters, mark the ballot with an X. Well, then a voter uses a check mark instead of an X. Does that mean the voter's indication of who they wanted is not valid? No, it means they put a check mark instead of an X, probably, but we can make an argument about that. And so the voter's intent becomes imperative as well.
I'm having flashbacks in that conversation to the great hanging Chad debate.
Yeah.
2000.
What is the voter's intent?
Yeah, like, I mean, really, did they push it all the way through?
Right.
Or did they halt and come back and push it again?
Right. And I have no doubt that in Florida in 2000, there were people who pushed, thought they pushed hard enough, never managed to break any of the perforation. So they had a pregnant Chad, but they meant to cast that vote. And then those who pushed all the way through and actually broke the perforation didn't really mean to do it. And then there's suddenly a hanging Chad. But the people who were counting had to establish a standard to use. And the standard was that hanging Chads would count, pregnant Chads would not. Because they were guessing, oh, if someone didn't push hard enough to break the perforation, they must not have really wanted to do that. But that's where I get to the point that this is about human beings who are engaging with technology, whether it's a piece of paper or an electronic machine that's going to count their vote. What they mean to do is in their head only, not in the heads of the people who are counting the votes.
Are you saying that there's no foolproof way to handle an election?
We could make a foolproof system and then a better fool would come along, I think is the way to think of it.
Andy, thanks so much for coming by WBY Presents and taking me down this trip memory lane with hanging Chads and pregnant Chads and all things election and political. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's always my pleasure. Thanks.